to go through in this Torah portion, as there is every week, and just to set the stage here for what we're talking about, we have the children of Israel going through now. They have been enslaved in Egypt for a long time, right? They've been in Egypt for 430 years. We don't know how long they were enslaved, but at some point, they went from being honored guests of the Pharaoh, right, with Joseph, who was the second in command of all Israel, who was a Hebrew, brought Jacob, his father, and the family, 70 people, brought them from the land of Israel, the land of Canaan at that time, to Egypt to settle in the Goshen area, which is the northeast area, very choice area. We remember all these plagues that happened the last few weeks. The country of Egypt was decimated. But we talked about in our Torah study last week, there was this bubble around that land of Goshen. There was this bubble of protection for God's people during those plagues, especially the last plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn. And we see in miraculous fashion, God is drawing the people out. He's bringing them out after these 10 horrible plagues enacted upon Egypt and the Pharaoh. They have just plundered the Egyptians. Not only have they left, destroyed the country of Egypt in their wake, or the Lord did, but they've taken the gold and the silver. The Egyptians were just throwing everything at them to get them out of the land. Pharaoh says, go. And I'm going to just give you a quick recap, and then I want to center in on one thing. Chapter 13, as we start our portion, it discusses how the Lord led them out, how he gave them a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. When God leads you out somewhere, he doesn't just say, okay, go, and push you out the door. Figure it out. He's going to lead you. Okay? He led them with that pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. Morning and night, they were led by the Lord. We know that there was that rock that followed them. And we read about it in the New Testament, the Brit Chadashah. That rock was actually Messiah Yeshua. The Lord was with them the entire time. He was leading them and guiding them. Chapter 14. Here's what happens. Pharaoh, even after all the plagues, even after all the devastation, says, I really want the Hebrews back. So he goes after them. He does not learn his lesson. He goes after them. Not only does he go after them, the scripture says he takes 600 chariots. Think about that. 600 chariots and I quote, all the other chariots of Egypt with officers. He's bringing everybody he can. Okay, he's not just throwing, you know, the newbies out. He's bringing the officers. He's bringing the chariots. He's bringing all the manpower he can get and otherwise. The Red Sea miraculously parts. The children of Israel cross over on dry ground. And then what happens? Egyptians go in. They get swallowed up and they drown. Chapter 15 talks about the victory that the children of Israel had. And that is termed the Song of Moses, that chapter, where they praise the Lord. They sing about the victory they just achieved. Chapter 16, we get this introduction to this very weird food called manna, right? And 17 closes our portion out with how God miraculously provides for his people, this time water from a rock, another miracle, right? God doesn't just do things and it's like, oh, well, that could have been God, that might not have been God. He's taking water out of a rock. It never happens like that, okay? He's trying to show them, listen, I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. You need to trust me. You need to know it's me. It's not just happenstance. It's me. Now, turn with me to Exodus 13. I'm going to start with 17 and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Now, this is the beginning of the journey. Okay, this will turn out to be a 40-year journey. They don't know that at the time, of course. They don't think that at the time. Technically speaking, it should have taken them about 14 days. It took them 40 years, a little longer. That's like, you know, when I go and I try to drive somewhere. It should have taken 14 minutes. It takes a lot longer than 14 minutes. I'm terrible with directions, but and I'll never ask people for help. Anyway, but that's another story. So basically, they're beginning their journey. Okay, they've got the Lord leading them. After 430 years in Egypt, you would have thought the Lord would lead them right in, right? 14 days, really quick. Let's go through the land of the Philistines. You know where the Philistines are, right? It's that land right along that little strip. We call it the Gaza Strip today. That's that strip by the Mediterranean Sea. It's right there. It's very convenient. It's very easy. You would think God would do that. It's the shortest route. They would see the Philistines there, though. They would become fearful. God knew that. So what did he do? He took them on a longer route. And here's the thing. Many times God doesn't take us on the most clear and common sense path. Many times God doesn't take us to the shortest route, the quickest, the easiest, whatever you want to say, fill in the blank there. We see that the path is the easiest. We see that that path, whatever that path is for you, you know, with whatever you're going through, it's the easiest. It costs us the least. We don't lose the energy. It's the quickest way. And logically, it makes sense to us. I'm sure it logically made sense to the people of Israel. And conversely, it was illogical for them to go the route that God had them to go. However, God knew that if they took that quick path, it could mean disaster for them. They would be fearful. They're just coming off of this high, so to speak. They're just coming off of this victory. And then if they see the Philistines and start fearing, morale is going to go down. God knew that. So he takes them on another way. And the whole point is, it may not seem logical, but this is what God did because he ultimately cares about them. He doesn't want them to falter. He doesn't want them to get discouraged. We see a caring, loving God here who's thinking of their well-being for the long term, not just the short term, not just the quickest, shortest path, or what we call in the business world, the critical path, right? You may have a situation and you're wondering, why am I on the long route? Where is God? Why isn't God solving my problem right now? This is simple, God. I've got this problem right here. You're this great God that could do anything. Where's the fill in the blank? Where's the healing? Where's the answer? Where's the job? Where's the family reconciliation? Whatever it is, where's God? Doesn't he know that there's a short path here? Doesn't he know that what I'm going through is difficult and it's very hard? Well, God may be waiting because there might be a better solution for you. God knows that a simple, quick, or easy path could spell problems for you, just like with the children of Israel. You might see the Philistines and get scared and lose heart and turn around. God knows that. He cares enough about you to find the better solution. But what do we say? Even after we know all that, we say, I just want some relief. I just want the quick path. I want the easy way, Lord. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 6. Listen, it's never easy when you're walking with the Lord because you're not going to do all the things that you want to do or you feel that you should do. You're going to do the things that the one who's leading you is going to do. That's called being a follower, not a leader. Hebrews 6:12-6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. This is not one of those verses you pull out when you want to be encouraged, right? This is not, oh, I love you so much. This isn't one of those verses. But it is there, and it is important. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Listen, he cannot take you as you are today, however you are, however I am, and bring you to that promised land right now. You're not ready for whatever reason. And I don't know the reasons. You may not even know the reasons, but God knows the reasons, okay? In the short term, there's hurt. In the short term, we're not getting relief. There's pain. It's uncomfortable. But we always know that God is in control. God has us wait for things. We may not ever find out why. You may not ever know why you couldn't just go straight into the promised land with whatever your issue is. You may never know why he didn't fulfill that prayer request right then. You may find out about it years later, and that's great if you do, but you may never find out about it. And you know what? That's okay, because sometimes he doesn't have to reveal everything to you. He is our Father. You know, look, when you have kids, sometimes you don't tell your kids everything. You can't, because they can't handle it. Maybe they're too young, or maybe they're going through something. But you know, as a father or even as a mother, you have to sometimes not share everything. Sometimes God, as a father, cannot share everything with us right away, maybe later. And the Bible uses this analogy of a sculptor, right? God is sculpting. He's this great sculptor. And what are we? We're not the sculptor. We all want to be the sculptor. What are we? We're the clay. You're the material he's using, shaping, molding, changing shape of for whatever he needs, whatever he wants to do in your life. And you know what? That hurts. That doesn't feel good. That's not always what we want, but it's what God has for us. It's like when you go and you work out. And I don't work out like I should, so I'm just going to theorize about this, right? When you go to the gym and you work out, you're working out your muscles. Does it ever feel good to work out? Now, I know you get these people and they work out. I love this, you know. That wouldn't be me if I was going to work out, okay? Probably ever. So the thing is, it never feels good when you're working out, but it's good for you, and it's going to tone you up, and it's going to give you that muscle mass you need, and it's going to be, you're going to be healthier, right? God is always working on us, ultimately, not so we can be in pain, but for our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Many of you know this scripture. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. It does not say all things work out together for ease. Okay? For good. Good sometimes means you got to put in some hard work. Good sometimes means you got to wait a little bit. And as followers of Yeshua, Jew and Gentile alike, we're called to be a light. Now that light isn't always easy. It isn't always easy because sometimes you have to be a light in what? A very dark area. It isn't quick. Sometimes you're called to pray for that friend or that family member. Many of you are praying for a friend or a family member or multiple. And you feel like, what am I doing year after year, day after day? They're not listening. Maybe they're mocking or there's a lot of misunderstanding. But God says to do it. You do it. We can't take our eyes off the prize. The children of Israel wandered for 40 years, but the end goal was always there, the land of Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey. For us, we're going through whatever we're going through, whether you're praying for somebody and they're not receiving it, whether you're having a health problem, where you're wondering where's God, you have to remember that there's always a goal in mind with the Lord. And it's not for our immediate relief. It's for our long-term well-being. Last scripture for today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. This is the goal for us as followers of Yeshua. We want to be able to say what Rob Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now, wait a minute. Let me stop right there. Fighting and racing. It's never fun. It's never easy, but it's necessary in our walk as a believer and a follower of Yeshua. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Listen, there's a crown waiting for you, but it's not going to appear today. There's a prayer waiting to be answered, but it's not for today. We cannot lose heart. The children of Israel had a promised land waiting for them. Just because they didn't totally follow the Lord all the time and they had to wander for 40 years, God didn't take away the end prize, end crown. Listen, you're going to have stops and starts in your walk as a believer. You're going to have people that don't listen to you. You're going to have issues come up. But God's never going to take away that goal of that crown of life for you. Keep your eyes, as they say, on the prize. Keep your focus on the end goal. For the children of Israel, it was the promised land at that point. For you and I, it's to walk out our faith with fear and trembling. It's to work things out in our life so that we are ready to take that crown at the time, to put it on, and to receive our inheritance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet, v'chayei olam notah b'tuchenu.